Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman, and Joseph Cooper is still recovering from a severe back injury. He is doing better and appreciates your good wishes. Today we visit with regular contributor Donna Ballman. She's an employee-side employment and labor law attorney with Donna M. Ballman, PA. It's an employee advocacy law firm. So, of course, Donna specializes in rules of the workplace. She's the author of Stand Up for Yourself Without Getting Fired. If you have questions about your workplace rights, if you're an employee with questions, or if you're an employer with questions, you can call us at 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576, or you can email radio at WLRN.org. And just a note, the program is not giving specific legal advice today. We are not, but simply general information. So welcome, Donna.
Thanks for having me back. It's been a while.
It's been more than a year.
That's hard to believe. Time really flies. Last time we were talking about maybe doing an end of the year wrap up, and now it's a new year.
A new year.
We all,
it's July.
we lost track of time.
Yeah, that's what happens. Well, let's begin with some things that weren't there last year, like the Supreme Court decision and the Hobby Lobby case. What does it mean for employees that corporations can enforce religious beliefs? And what could be some unintended workplace consequences?
Hobby Lobby. Wow. I mean, I'm reading this decision, and this was a case under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And the idea was to protect religious freedoms. Obviously, you'd think that would be a good thing. But the question was whether corporations could refuse to cover employees under Obamacare because it required that insurance also provide coverage for contraception.
Right.
And I'm reading this decision, and I'm saying, is this just me, or is this just crazy? And then I looked at Justice Ginsburg, and here's what Justice Ginsburg said about this decision. She says, in a decision of startling breadth, the court holds that commercial enterprises, including corporations, along with partnerships and sole proprietorships, can opt out of any law, saving only tax laws, they judge incompatible with their sincerely held religious beliefs. That's really startling.
Well, for a country where there's a separation of church and state, it is startling.
It is. And so what does it mean that your company, that your employer, the company itself, has religious beliefs? That's really shocking. You know, we went through the whole thing where companies are people, and they are. It's a fiction in the law that companies are people, but now they really are people. They're starting to have religious beliefs. So, you know, are they going to go on diets? I don't know. it's a little crazy. And I don't know. I've been on a number of shows, and I don't know if we've ever talked about what really are sincerely held religious beliefs, because under the law, that's a term of art, and it can be anything. It's not just, you know, the three big religions. It's anything. So ethical vegans can have a sincerely held religious belief. So what if your corporation is owned by ethical vegans? Does that mean that they can refuse to cover to pay for coverage of people who aren't vegans? What if the company is owned by Rastafarians? Can they refuse to cover people who don't use medical marijuana? Can a Christian Science-owned company refuse to cover anyone because it's against their beliefs to cover medical
doctors?
I don't know. I'm a little speechless on this case because it's so broad. Now, Justice Alito, who wrote the majority opinion, he said that while the government has a compelling interest in providing equal opportunity in the workforce regarding race, he specifically mentioned race. He didn't say gender. And, of course, this has tremendous gender discrimination implications. So, and they didn't rule on the issue of gender discrimination and refusing to provide contraception. So I expect we'll see some gender discrimination cases. But, okay, so he says, well, you know, it won't affect race discrimination laws. But if a company has its owner's religious beliefs, what if they believe that women belong in the home and they don't want to hire women anymore? Will that be upheld? I don't know. Can they refuse to promote women because they think that women should be subordinate to men? I don't know.
So really, we don't know where this is going to go, where it's going to end up, and what the implications are.
Well, what you're going to see are some really extreme cases as the religious right pushes that issue, and as employee side, employment attorneys fight back on some of those issues. And it doesn't have consequences all in favor of the employers. For instance, if a corporation is now has religious
beliefs. Now, what does
beliefs,
it mean, but these are closely held companies? So who does that?
Well, closely held companies are companies that are owned by a small group of people. They're not public companies. But they didn't exclude the possibility that publicly held companies could also have religious beliefs.
Okay.
So how does a publicly held corporation decide that? I don't know. Do they have a shareholders meeting and they say, okay, who's Muslim? And if a majority raise their hand, it's a Muslim corporation? I don't know. Did the Supreme Court just authorize Sharia law? I don't know. It's a case where it's going to have a lot of implications that I think were unintended. For instance, if a corporation has political beliefs of its owners, what does that do to the fiction that a corporation is a separate legal entity from its owners? Are we going to start piercing the corporate veil and being able to go after some of those owners because they're the same as the corporation? Well, so I bet you some of the corporations that pushed that case didn't think about that consequence.
Hmm. Really a lot of food for thought. I mean, it really, we just don't know what's going to come from this.
We're going to see some crazy case law coming out of it, and I predict I'll be back here in another year saying, what the heck was that case about?
Talking about it. All right, well, here's something else that's happened since you were here. The passage of that bill known as Charlotte's Web. So it legalizes a form of non-euphoric medical marijuana. What is Florida doing to protect the jobs of employees who take it from their employers who conduct mandatory drug testing?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And this is what's shocking to me is, okay, so we passed this sort of pseudo medical marijuana, and there's actually a ballot question coming up that you'll have a chance to vote on that is going to legalize real medical marijuana.
Right.
But even that one doesn't have any protections for employees. And there are states that have passed specific laws stating that legal users of medical marijuana can't be fired for positive drug tests. Arizona, which is not exactly your liberal state, but Delaware and Minnesota also have laws that say that you are protected. But Florida just left them as typical, we've left employees in the lurch. So this, even though it's non-euphoric, you can still test positive on a drug test, and you can still be fired. Yes. So even though your doctor prescribes it, and here's the kicker is that you're not protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act because it's illegal under federal law still.
Right. Right. So what recourse would an employee have?
Zip. You have none. I mean, that's the answer, is you're at the mercy of your employer. If you've got an employer that doesn't drug test, okay, maybe you've got a shot. But if you disclose that you're using even the non-euphoric Charlotte's Web, you can still be fired for it. And remember that marijuana has a lot of stigma. I just taught a continuing legal education, and we were talking about this, that even though it's now considered a drug, a prescription drug, and I don't understand how it's any worse than, say, codeine cough medicine,
right?
Employers have this idea in their heads that you're really impaired when you're using marijuana. So even if it's Charlotte's Web, where you're not going to be impaired, and where the test should be, are you impaired or not at work, mm-hmm, instead of are you using it in your own time, employers can fire you for it. So be careful.
And they can't come to you.
Yeah.
There's nothing actionable about that.
Yeah, I mean, there would be no legal protection. So,
right.
But the law is constantly changing in this area as more and more states pass it. I suspect that what we're going to see is some federal legislation as we get to a majority of states that are legalizing medical marijuana. And then remember, two states have legalized marijuana, period.
Right.
Interestingly, they don't have any protection for employees who use the,
they don't?
Even the legal. No, those two states don't have any legal protections.
That's Washington and Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Okay, our number, 1-800-743-9576, employee questions, employer questions. Donna Ballman is with us. She's an employee side employment attorney. So this would be an opportunity for employers.
Your only opportunity to ask me questions, because I won't talk to you in my office.
Right. We do have a question regarding employment in Florida. Why is it that in the state of Florida, post-employment restrictions, non-competes, are still enforceable after being terminated? It seems that Florida is one of the states that least protects employees.
It is. I consistently say this. We're one of the worst states in the nation for employees. Why? Well, because, you know, we have the composition of the legislature and the nature of having a billionaire governor. You don't have a lot of indication that we're going to change anytime soon. Why do we have some of the worst restrictions on employees? Well, it's the legislature. The legislature says that we passed a law that said you can't even consider undue hardship. Now, I was just had a case where I was researching New York law. New York law considers undue hardship. If you're fired for without cause, they have to pay you out for the length of the non-compete period. Why don't we have restrictions like that? I don't know. Massachusetts, there's actually a move, and this is an industry-led movement, by the way. Corporations are saying that having non-competes is bad for economic development in the state. So Massachusetts governor has pushed the legislature, and the legislature is acting on that right now. There's some bills there's a bill that just passed in the Senate, and I know there's another one in the House, and they've got to work on that compromise language. But they're trying to ban non-competes altogether in Massachusetts, or at least severely limit them, because it is bad for economic development.
So what can Floridians do? I mean, go to their legislators?
Well, yes, go to your state legislators and say non-competes are bad. I don't think that, you know, people think that because we're a right-to-work state that means they can't keep you from working. That has nothing to do with non-competes. A lot of people think non-competes aren't enforceable, and there are a lot of defenses to them. The problem is that most people can't afford to spend the tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, in legal fees and costs to defend themselves against the enforcement of a non-compete. So it's one of those things where most people just have to suck it up and stay out of their industry for a year or two. And people don't even read these things.
And you mean when they're being hired?
Yeah. So people sign them. It. You see them in applications. You see them attached to we're going to give you this little bonus, but just sign this little paper first. And if you read it, you're agreeing not to compete for a year or two. Sometimes it's associated with a raise. They can actually present it to you. Florida is one of the few states in the nation where they can present it to you after you accept a job. People actually move here from another state, accept a job, and then they're presented with a non-compete. And they go, whoa, but then they're stuck because they've already left another job and moved, and they can't do anything about it.
And the non-compete clauses are usually 1 or 2 years?
Frequently 1 or 2 years. The Florida law says that anything 6 months or under is presumed reasonable. Anything 2 years or more than 2 years is presumed unreasonable. So courts generally consider that area in between 6 months and 2 years to be kind of fair game. But it's actually the employer's burden to prove that they have a legitimate interest to protect in that time period.
Oh, so that burden is on the employer.
Yeah. Okay. But although, you know, go to a court and convince the judge of that, you know, frequently, you know, most judges will listen, but some judges don't want to hear it. So it's really, I find these cases are fairly judge specific as to whether, and then can you afford to appeal if you get a judge that doesn't want to hear the legal defenses? Well, most people can't afford to appeal. So it's one of those situations where employees are really becoming indentured servants of employers who say, ha, 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 I can treat you as badly as I want because you can't leave because you can't work
again, or at least in this field. We're speaking about employee rights on today's Topical Currents. If you have a question, our number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. We're going to get to teens and their workplace rights. And we're speaking with Donna Ballman, employee side employment and labor law attorney. And we'll be right back.
One of these days I'm gonna blow my top. That sucker, he's gonna pay. I can't wait until I get the nerve to walk up to him and say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman just left, took all the reason I've been working for. Don't you try and stop, 'cause I'll be walking.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks to Paul Leary, yes, for that little ditty. Do you know what is that? Do we know?
Johnny Paycheck, take this job and shove it.
Okay. All right. And we're speaking with Donna Ballman on today's topical currents and employee side, employment and labor law attorney with Donna Ballman, PA. It's an employee advocacy law firm. Stand Up for Yourself Without Getting Fired is a book that Donna wrote some time ago. We're waiting for another book now, right?
Well, you know, I do a weekly column for AOL Jobs. So
yeah,
if you really want to hear the latest of what's going on, you can either read my blog, which is not called Take Your Job and Shove It. I actually know a guy who whose blog is called that, and it's a good blog, but mine is called, I can't even say it fully on the air, but if you watch South Park, you'll know the missing word. It's bleep you guys, I'm going home.
Okay.
I talk about the latest issues in both my blog and my AOL Jobs column.
Okay, let's take some calls that we have. Maribel in Fort Lauderdale. Welcome, Maribel.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. My question basically revolves around credit bureau reporting. And I haven't paid my mortgage, and I took a I interviewed with an organization, and I was offered a position, but then because I'm behind on my mortgage, they decided not to pursue my candidacy, but provided no further information.
Well, they have to. The Fair Credit Reporting Act actually says that they do have to jump through some hoops on that. They're supposed to give you a pre-adverse action notice where it explains what the negative report was and give you an opportunity to respond. And then they have to give you an adverse action notice. And so you're entitled to a copy of the report that they used. So if they didn't jump through those hoops, they may be violating the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And that's a Federal Trade Commission that deals with those issues. But what are your remedies as far as getting the job? Not much. There are some states that have passed laws. And this is another thing. Talk to your legislators about this. There are other states where people have rights, folks, and we're just sitting back in Florida and taking it. Well, you know, take these laws and shove it, because they're bad laws. Some states have passed laws that say that employers cannot hold your credit reports against you, bad credit. And Florida just sitting out there, yeah, they can hold it against you. And the theory is, the reason that employers do this is that they say, well, if you're having credit issues, maybe you're more likely to embezzle. But the fact is that there is not a single study showing that that's true.
Right.
And so it's bad information. It's just an assumption that they're making, and it has an adverse impact on women. It has an adverse impact on certain minorities, but they're getting away with it. So they shouldn't be able to do it, but they do have to jump through some hoops. So make them jump through those hoops.
So basically, they did provide me with an adverse action notification after the fact, after they requested, and I was clearly, you know, very transparent with them and with them what my issues were. And it did provide an adverse action notification after the fact, asked me for a letter of explanation, which I provided to them. And so anyway, I guess there's really no recourse on my part, basically, at this point.
Well, in Florida, they're allowed to refuse to hire you for pretty much any reason or no reason at all. But again, these kind of using these reports does have an adverse impact on women, does have an adverse impact on certain minorities. So maybe your recourse is to talk to the EEOC,
okay,
the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. They're at EEOC.gov. You could file something called a charge of discrimination and say, I think this has an adverse impact on women or my minority or whatever, and ask them to take a look at it. Whether they would do anything about it, I don't know. You could talk to an employee side employment lawyer about assisting you with that. You could talk to the FTC if you think they didn't jump through all the hoops. FTC is at FTC.gov, and they do have information about all the hoops that they have to jump through in order to deny you employment for a bad credit report.
Okay,
well,
Maribel.
I did speak with an attorney, and they referred me to the EEOC, so I guess that really is my next step. Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and Paul in Fort Lauderdale, welcome to Topical Currents.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
I work for an international fitness company, And I moved down from Boston, and down here, since I've been working for them, they are open 365 days a year, and they require us to work holidays, and without any time and a half, they just said, we're open, you need to be here. I actually can take it off with my vacation time, but how do they get away with that? I can't imagine that they can pay a straight time on a holiday.
Very simple. There's absolutely no law, federal or Florida, that requires any extra pay for working holidays. If you work more than 40 hours a week, then they do have to pay you time and a half. But there is zero legal protection in Florida, other than if you have a union contract. So people are anti-union, but unions are what have gotten us a lot of the protections we have. If you have a union contract, a lot of times union contracts do require
time
that extra pay.
Right.
But unless you have either a personal contract or a union contract saying otherwise, they don't have to pay you squat other than straight time.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you, ladies. Great job.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Frank in Miami. Hi, Frank.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good.
When I was a teenager for many years, I worked at a fast food places. I used to have to stand up for my job and on my feet for hours. Never had a problem. Now, I'm a manager at a place where an employee insists we have a counter and people come up to the counter, and I do not like to have a seat for my employee to sit while he takes care of people behind the counter. And he counters that the law says that we have to provide a seat for him because he cannot be on his feet for so long. So where do we stand on that?
There is an actual law in Florida about retail employees, and I don't know if you're in that category, but their retail employers do have to provide a resting place for employees to be used. So there is an actual law that protects employees there. But also, you're talking about the Americans with Disabilities Act. And if the employee's doctor says this person needs a reasonable accommodation to do their job, and the reasonable accommodation is they need a stool to sit or they need periodic rest breaks, then you have to grant it unless you can show that there's an undue hardship that would be incurred. And I think it's really hard to show that, somebody sitting by a cash register as opposed to standing by a cash register. It's going to be hard to show an undue hardship. So I think that in most cases, employers are going to have to grant an accommodation like that.
I see. That's interesting. I didn't think there was such a law.
There absolutely is. For anybody with a disability,
the disability, I can understand, that's the case. That makes a lot of sense,
Well, there are a lot of things that are considered disabilities that you might not think of. They don't have to be in a wheelchair to have a disability. They don't have to be blind to have a disability. So the ADAAA, the amendments to the Americans with Disabilities Act, actually expanded that a lot. So somebody who has a medical doctor requesting an accommodation, I'd start talking to the corporate lawyers about whether that's something that you need to grant. But really, and more importantly, why not grant it? I mean, what's the problem? I mean, why wouldn't you grant it if somebody's saying, this will help me do my job? Why wouldn't you want to give them something that helps them do their job?
Right. I understand. It sounds reasonable. So.
Okay, Frank, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
It's Topical Currents. We're talking about workplace issues with attorney Donna Bowman. She's an employee side attorney, but we are taking calls from employers as well. One of your only opportunities to speak to Donna Bowman. And our number, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping, out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving, you just use your mind.
Yes. It is. I know that one.
Yeah. Does anybody remember that movie? I was showing our age, Bonnie, I think, by remembering that movie.
You're right.
Now, if we ever do a holiday show, you'll have to find Elf's Lament for us. That's a great employee holiday song.
I don't know that.
It's a great one. You got to listen to it.
That's the voice of Donna Ballman. She's an employee-side employment and labor law attorney with Donna M. Ballman, PA, in Fort Lauderdale. Right?
Yes.
What's your website?
It's BallmanFirm.com, BallmanFirm.com.
Okay. And we're talking about workplace rights. And let's go to Nisvin, I think is your name, in Delray Beach. Nisvin? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon, Nisvin. How are you doing?
Good.
We thank you so much. So you've been very care about somebody at least care about the employment. I'll ask you a question. Like, why you don't have any, like, a national law, because it's only one country. Why we don't have any one law for the everyone of the employment?
Well, there are some laws that are nationwide, things like the discrimination laws. We do have different state laws that provide additional protection, some of the wage and hour laws.
Fair Labor Standards Act.
Yes, exactly. Fair Labor Standards Act. The Family and Medical Leave Act applies to medical leave for an illness for yourself or a family member for the birth of a child. So there are some federal laws. But then the states, of course, the founders of our country decided that the states should have rights too. So states can pass additional laws that protect employees or anything, as long as it doesn't conflict with a federal law. So some states do have some really substantially better laws than we do protecting employees. But Florida is continually one of the worst states in the nation.
Yeah. Did you have a question, Nisman?
Yeah, I have one question. My question, if you walk in place, you've been in charge the place you work, and like if you have another people, you've never been in where you've been in charge, and if any decision you made it, anything you have, you they won't have to do, any call, you always answer the call and make everything all right. So the person never been in it, is the one get the pay for what you do as the one person was in charge, I would know, like, no consideration. I mean, somebody never been in the position you've been worked, he's never even come and see what you're doing. He never know. You always be in time what you're doing, and he get the title, he get the pay.
We have a little, sorry, Nisman, we have a little bit of a bad connection. Donna, do you?
I think I got the idea. You know, why first of all, you're getting, I guess, evaluated in assignments from somebody who never really sees you work, and you know, you're being singled out for stuff that other people aren't. And I'd say a couple of things that I'd look at. Well, first of all, you know, they can be arbitrary, they can be jerks, that's not necessarily illegal. However, if there are other coworkers that do something similar to you or have similar qualifications to you and are being treated differently, then I'd ask, are they of a different race or age or sex or national origin than you? And in which case, you may have a discrimination case. But in general, you know, and a lot of people say, well, I'm being picked on, I'm being treated differently than everybody else. Okay, well, unless you can fit yourself into that protected category, there's only one state in the nation now that has passed a law against bullying, and that's Tennessee. That was just recent. Crazy things that happened recently. Well, that was a good thing. Tennessee
bullying
passed an anti-bullying
in the workplace
law. Yes, an anti-bullying in the workplace law. It only applies to public employees. There have been 26 states that have tried to pass them and failed, but Tennessee just passed one, so we'll see how that goes.
All right. Okay, Nisvin, does that help?
Yeah, thank you so much. You've been in for everything. Let me ask you a second, last one. Okay, like, if you have, sometimes, you know, in industry business, you have good day, good season and bad season. If all the season, the person was always sick all the overtime, and when
so one person's getting assigned to overtime and getting paid overtime, and one person's not. Yeah, I mean, they can be arbitrary about that. But if the person who's getting all the overtime is of a different race or national origin or sex or whatever, then again, there might be a discrimination case. On the other hand, if there's a person that, you know, if you're the person getting stuck with all the overtime and you don't want to do it, again, I'd look at those protected categories and see if there's some legal action that you could take.
Okay, very good. I hope that helps, Nisman. Let's talk to Mark in Miami. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm coming from the other side of the fence. I'm a business owner. I have an enterprise software development firm. And recently I had someone who I know rather well. He's a friend of mine's younger brother in his 20s. He's having some problem finding work. I've agreed to take him on as kind of an intern and teach him how to develop software and databases. And my concern, my plan was to basically teach him as a, I guess, an intern until he's actually doing, you know, billable work. And then at that point, you know, pay him for the work that he does. But I think I remember reading something about a year or so ago where the Department of Labor made some changes as to what you could or could not do with someone that was an intern, I guess.
Yeah.
Insight into that.
Yeah, unpaid internships, I'd say a lot of them are illegal because a lot of employers think that you can have somebody fetching coffee for you, getting your laundry, and, you know, doing reception work, and you can, don't have to pay them because you're calling them an intern. Well, an internship is a very specific thing under the law. It's something that it's like a vocational course or a college course or a high school course where it builds on itself. You're teaching them increasing things they're learning. You're not getting any financial benefit for it, so they're not doing work that they're not replacing somebody who should be paid.
Right.
And so if you want to get more information, there's a lot of stuff online about this because the IRS is cracking down, the Department of Labor is cracking down on unpaid internships. So you can, you know, I would suggest getting some legal advice about how you can structure an internship. There are great unpaid internships that are out there. My daughter had one last year, and she loved it. And she's, you know, doing another one right now this summer. But it's exactly what it should be. But if you're using somebody as an employee and not paying them, just calling them an intern does not give you the excuse to not pay them.
Okay,
well,
Mark?
In this case, it would be 180 degrees the opposite. They would be doing no menial labor. It would be, in essence, shadowing me and learning how to write software and asking questions and actually probably add workload as opposed to taking away workload.
Well, then it might be a legitimate internship. You just got to be very careful how you structure
it.
You don't want to, if you get it wrong, the consequences are pretty severe for employers.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Speaking of interns, you were telling me about something Broward County is doing with sexual harassment of interns.
Yes. It's funny because I was having a conversation with Commissioner Martin Keir, and he happens to have a daughter. And so we were talking about the fact that there is no state or federal law that makes sexual harassment of interns illegal. And I was kind of appalled by that. There have been some states like New York that have passed laws against sexual harassment of interns, but that's a minority. And he said, what do you mean we don't have anything? And so we talked about it. And so he's actually instructed the county attorney in Broward to, and the commission just passed something saying that they agreed that the county attorney should be instructed to draft an ordinance protecting interns in Broward against sexual harassment. So it's a draft. We haven't even seen the ordinance yet.
Okay.
They're working on it, but stay tuned because right now your teenage daughters and sons are not protected against sexual harassment if they're interns, but maybe they soon will be in Broward thanks to Commissioner Keir.
Okay. Let's see who's been waiting the longest. Barbara in Miami has been waiting. Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to Topical Currents.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Well, my name is Barbara, and I have a girlfriend that's been working for a law firm for the past 3-4 years. And in the past year, she found out recently that they've been deducting for her 401k and not reporting it. In addition to that, not matching her 50-50. And she confronted the owner, which is a lawyer, regarding the 401k, and he said he was sorry, but that the company is going through a financial situation, and he's unable to refund her initial contribution and not match her, period.
Is that it's a company in Dade or Broward?
Dade County.
All right,
law
well,
firm.
Dade County has a wage theft ordinance, and if they took money from her to put into an account and they didn't actually put it into that account and they used it, then that's wage theft. And so she could pursue something under the wage theft ordinance. She could pursue something under ERISA, which is the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, which is a federal law protecting benefits. She could also, there are a number of things, the Fair Labor Standards Act. So I would have her talk to a lawyer who does employee side stuff. ERISA is one of those weird animals. I certainly don't do it. I don't even know how to explain it. It's a bizarre thing. So there aren't many people that do that, but wage theft and stuff like that. There's actually, employers don't have to match funds, but if their plan does say that they're going to match funds, then they have to match funds. So they have to do it the way it's set up. And if they set it up as a matching fund and they're not doing it, then that's illegal.
Gotcha. All right, well, thank you so much. I'll pass along the information because it's been really, getting to her.
Okay, Barbara, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, and let's speak with John in Delray Beach. John?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I got a quick question about being injured on the job and workers' compensation. I'm not familiar with it at all. I know it's... they pay you a certain amount when you're off, but how does that go? What are the laws for?
Well, workers' compensation is a little different from employment law, so I don't do it. I know enough to be dangerous, but what I usually do is tell people to contact an attorney who does workers' compensation law. It's another one of those weird animals that there are some hoops to jump through. But in general, they pay some your doctor bills. They pay for a certain percentage of your salary. There are some hoops that the employer has to jump through. There are some hoops that you have to jump through. So you got to be very careful to make sure that you comply with everything and that the employer complies with everything to make sure that you're covered. So I would definitely, it's one of those things that I don't understand enough about, so I would definitely talk to a workers' comp attorney.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, John. We're speaking about workplace issues, workplace rights with attorney Donna Ballman, an employee side attorney. And we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with more of your calls. Stay with us.
I'm a man of reason, and they say 'tis the season to be jolly, but it's folly when you volley for position. Never in existence has there been such a resistance to ideas meant to free us. If you could see us, then you'd listen. Toiling through the ages, making toys on garnished wages. There's no union, we're only through when we outdo the competition.
Okay, Donna, what is it?
Elf's Lament. It's a great song, one of my favorite holiday songs.
Well, it's almost the holiday, and we're almost there. We're speaking about workplace issues and rights with attorney Donna Ballman, with Donna Ballman, Donna M. Ballman, PA. It's an employee advocacy law firm. Just before we get back to the phones, I read on one of your papers that if you're an intern, an independent contractor, or work for a company with fewer than 15 employees, there's no legal protection against discrimination? Really?
That's true. Well, in Dade County, you're lucky enough that we have an ordinance that protects employers or people who work for employers with five or more employees, and in Broward also. But there's no – the federal and state laws say 15 or more employees to be protected against discrimination. And so if you work for an employer with 1 to 4 employees, you don't have any protection against discrimination.
Either state or federal.
Correct.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We have Marie in Miami joining us. Good afternoon, Marie.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Thank you, ladies, for taking my call. I have a quick question. I got into a car accident in March, and where I work, the distance between the parking garage and my office is about half a mile to walking distance one way, and they do not provide transportation, so it's up to the employee to have to walk basically a mile round trip. So due to the car accident, and I've been undergoing physical therapy and seeing 3 different doctors and remain under physical therapy, and I'm still currently under doctor's care, I provided a doctor's note to the HR department stating I wouldn't be able to walk this distance anymore. And I've been receiving a lot of pushback from the HR department. And it turns out that the HR themselves are not even making these decisions, that it's someone outside of the HR department is making the decision on whether or not they're going to be able to accommodate me not having to walk that distance, even though I have, you know, provided a doctor's letterhead and a doctor's note.
Okay.
Well, what can I do?
Well, it sure sounds like you've got potentially a disability discrimination claim. I mean, they should decide within a reasonable amount of time, because obviously you're still having to walk that distance or having to come up with an alternative. One thing you might do is look, I think there may be a way to get a temporary handicap permit. So you may be able to get some sort of a special parking permit that might allow you to park in the handicap spaces. So you might want to talk to your doctor about that. I'm not sure how that works.
Okay.
But certainly as far as the accommodation, if they're not granting the accommodation, if they're just spending too much time on it, if they're requiring you to do that walk, then you might file a charge of discrimination with EEOC or talk to an employment lawyer, because it sounds like they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing to accommodate you.
Let me just ask, though, if Marie files a complaint with the EEOC, what are the chances that she can be terminated?
Yep.
Well, it's illegal to fire somebody for filing with EEOC. I mean, the problem is you file with EEOC and it's going to sit there for a year or maybe even two before anything happens. I mean, they're completely backlogged. And so, you know, I'm sympathetic with the investigators because they've had cutbacks too, like everybody else. So they're completely backlogged. So will EEOC step in and do something for you immediately? No. But might you have a claim down the road? One thing they can do for you, if they ask you if you want to mediate, I always suggest saying yes, because that's an opportunity for everybody to sit down with a neutral third-party mediator. EEOC has some of the best mediators I've ever encountered, and so they can try to help you resolve it with your employer.
Could employers, knowing that there's this big backlog at the EEOC, take advantage of that to...
Yeah.
Let me go.
Well, not to let you know. I mean, obviously, it's illegal to fire you, but again, you still have to jump through the hoop of filing with the EEOC for that retaliation, and you'd have to file a lawsuit. It could take a couple of years for a lawsuit
time
to go through. So, there's not anything that you can do that would have an immediate result, but certainly the fact that they're violating the law. And they might take it more seriously if you filed with the EEOC. You're certainly legally protected against retaliation, and they know that, so they shouldn't be dumb enough to fire you just because. Although I have one guy now who's telling me that they've actually told him that as soon as they get the EEOC charge, they're going to fire him. Okay, you know, I mean, what do you do about that? Well, you know, you just have to tell them what the law is and hope that they'll comply.
Hope. Okay, Marie, thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
We're getting toward the end of the program, so if you could be brief. James in Boca?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. My wife worked as a personal trainer for 8 years for a woman who runs a personal training business up in Delray Beach. And what the woman did is she withheld my wife's income. And she would pay her like 4 weeks of income, she'd pay her two, and then the next month, same thing. Instead of 4 weeks, two, and so it kept accruing to where it got more and more and more behind, to where it wound up being thousands of dollars. And my wife was very upset, spoke to several clients, and said, I'm not getting paid, and I'm owed all this money. So the clients called the woman and said, you're not paying Marie, you know, we're not paying you anymore. We're going to pay Marie directly. And so the woman fired my wife, Marie, even though she'd worked for her for 8 years, owing her several thousand dollars. And the remarkable thing about it is that she's never made any attempt to pay any of it back. And she's also a member of the Delray Beach Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. Go
ahead. All right. Well, obviously, she has to pay the wages that are owed. So she could file a lawsuit or, I don't know, it's Delray and Broward.
I think it's in... Isn't that in Palm Beach County?
If it's in Palm Beach, they don't have a wage theft ordinance. But that she could sue for the unpaid wages, also breach of verbal contract. Interestingly, if she was fired for objecting to the illegal activity of not paying her wages, then she could be a whistleblower if they have at least 10 employees. But if she was fired for talking to customers about it, maybe she's not protected, but it might be something to talk to an employment lawyer about.
Numerous emails saying, you know, where is our money? You have no right to withhold this money. This is my income. You have no right to withhold my income from me.
Okay.
You know, and she wouldn't respond. She absolutely wouldn't respond. And my wife isn't the first one she did this to.
It's a tough situation. And, you know, in the Great Recession, a lot of people got into this thing where they were just getting paid later and later and later. The employer got further and further behind. So it was a tough situation.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but we're going to try and get Adrian. Oh, no, it's David in Fort Lauderdale. David, can you be quick?
Yes, good afternoon. Great show, very relevant. Thank you. The issue is relocation. A employee accepted a new job. Her landlord doesn't want to break the lease and wants to hold a security deposit. Is that legal in Florida?
Oh,
landlord. I don't do landlord tenant at all, so okay. I just do employment law.
Sorry, David, okay, we don't have that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, and I meant to go to Adrian. Can you be very quick? We have about 30 seconds for you.
Oh, is that me? Okay.
Yes.
Very quickly, I just wanted to find out if an employer hires you for a specific position, let's say about a year or two, and then they want to train you for something else, and then you don't do well at that position, can they fire you?
Yes, and it happens a lot where, you know, they somebody gets transferred and they say you're a poor performer. They don't have to put you back to the old job. Of course, it's silly of them not to, but employers can be pretty silly, and so it is legal.
Oh, really? Okay, even if you were hired for a specific position, there's no contract.
Employers don't have to follow the job description. They can assign you additional duties. They can fire somebody or lose somebody and give you double duties and not pay you any additional.
And as you say, they can fire you for wearing a shirt they don't like.
That's right. I actually had that case.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Can I make a quick point? Another quick point about the sealed and expunged. Let's say if you have some kind of a record, can you, let's say if you do have to have, can they, like, not hire you because of something maybe that happened in the past, but if
yes.
you have something, are your record sealed or expunged?
If it's sealed, then you still have to answer that you have a conviction on your record. But if it's expunged, then in Florida you can legally answer, except for in certain professions like police and I think maybe schools and some other things.
So they have the right
you can legally answer that you were never convicted of a crime if it's expunged.
But they have the right to not hire you if you have some kind of a record. It could be anything. It could
Absolutely. Some states, again, have protection, not Florida.
Okay, Adrian.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Talk to your legislator.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we've been speaking with Donna Ballman. She's an employee side employment and labor law attorney with Donna M. Ballman, PA. It's an employee advocacy law firm. And we'll have all the links to EEOC.gov, FTC.gov, BallmanFirm.com on our website. Donna, thank you so much. It's been an informative hour, as always.
My pleasure. I hope I help some people. And talk to your legislators if you think you should have more legal protection.
Okay, and come back sooner.
Thanks.
And that is our program for today. We thank you for spending your time with us and thank all of our callers. Our producer is Richard Ives with technical direction and assistance and great music from our online producer, Paul Leary. We have free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org, and more information, links, and photos at the Topical Currents Facebook page at facebook.com/topicalcurrents.